It'll be new and exciting. Second half at the races, we're at Gulfstream. Kind of ripped through a week and a half already. Be back next for Monday and Tuesday next week before heading to Tampa, leading up to Sam Davis. Those two races, we got to slip those in. I was gonna actually do that. Maybe, you know what? Let me see if Barry's looked at those races. Barry Spears may have. I know he's going to be handicapping with FanDuel for Sam Davis Day and all the big days at Tampa. Stay with us. Back after this, SiriusXM at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents.
Racing fans, join us this Sunday for great racing and good times at Spectacular Santa Anita. First post time is at 12:30, and there is a guaranteed payout in Sunday's 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot, providing there is no single-ticket winner on Friday or Saturday. Sunday's total jackpot pool should exceed $3 million. Sunday's racing will be highlighted by the Grade 2 $200,000 Palos Verde Stakes for older sprinters at 6 furlongs, and by the Grade 3 $200,000 San Marcos at a mile and one half on turf. Be sure to check out our all-new first coast-to-coast pick five. It's a $1 minimum bet with a player-friendly 15% takeout covering five races at Santa Anita and Gulfstream each weekend throughout our classic meet. And fans, don't forget, we offer free admission and parking each Friday, along with $3 beers and $5 margaritas, with first post time at 12:30. Just east of Pasadena in Arcadia, Santa Anita.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Weekend, and when I booked, I said, you know what, okay, if I'm coming for Eclipse and for Pegasus, I'm staying for Holy Bull, why wouldn't you? And as Marty McGee says, why wouldn't you? Where is Marty, by the way? That, you know what, in lieu of the Mike Welch scratch, I should dig up a little Marty McGee. All right, I'm going to go on the hunt because I just heard from Nick Tamro. He's got an emergency now, too. So Hammer will follow this visit from James Scully, who is standing by. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Hope you're having a great time down there in Florida. You know, it's Michael Jordan Day, 2-3-2-3.
How about that? Very cute. Why isn't it, let me ask you, why isn't it Ryan Sandberg Day?
There
Touché.
You go. Yes, sir. And I'll echo Scott's sentiments earlier. Congrats on your Eagles making the Super Bowl. Boy, it was a painful loss for my Bengals. So I'll probably be rooting for Philly.
That's it. I will take, we're happy to welcome in anybody, you know, any bandwagon types. There's plenty of room. Don't worry. We won't even Micah Parsons will apparently even take care.
I know. I saw that. That just kills people that he would say that.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Win it for the division. All right. You know what?
Yeah.
I think he's been backpedaling and trying to win over Eagle fans since his ridiculous comments about Jalen Hurts. But between Micah Parsons with that and the Empire State Building in green and white, everybody's coming aboard.
There you go. It seems like the Eagles, you know, seems like they might be a team, you know, of destiny this season. Yeah,
I'll take it. I don't care how we, how we get there. I'm sort of. It's funny. Like I said the other day, it is totally. And I haven't talked to Johnny and Will about this, but it's just different. Having finally broken through 5 years ago, this just feels different. I mean, 5 years ago, I was an absolute basket case leading in, and. You know, it's just different. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, I know that. I know what you're talking about. Same thing, you know, Bengals last year. If the Bills ever make it back, you know, you got to wait on your shoulder until you win one, and then that goes away.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm just happy that they've had a, you know, that it's been a great season. It's like. Gravy to have these 2 weeks of fun. I gave serious consideration about going out to Phoenix, but it just and you know what's funny about this, and maybe Hammer will touch on it next because he helped me. You know, he had one opinion about going or not going. Johnny D did as well, and Chuck Simon and I talked about it. And I have never been to one. I mean, I've been to every single conceivable, you know, big game or you know, final kind of thing that you could imagine. I mean, NCAA tournament, 1988,
right.
Kemper Arena, golf, PGA.
It's the one event where they just sort of discourage the average fan from going to it. It's such a corporate corporate setting, and it's they gouge the prices because they count on businesses and groups purchasing them, not individuals. So if you listen to people talk about it, been to covered Super Bowls, they'll talk about how it's just such a different atmosphere than the playoffs leading up to it. It's just, you'll have fans there, but it's just like it's hard for them to, they're all scattered all over the place with all these other seats that are sold to, businesses and such.
That's what that was Hammer's complaint, and he's been to a few of them, and and he said, 10% for one team, 10% for the other, and then 80% that are there out of corporate largesse. So yeah, I we'll see. I had friends, three of them have passed away, that were a little older. They would go in an RV to wherever the Super Bowl was every year. They would get there, the week of. And they would stay the week, and then they would leave on Saturday, either Saturday night or Sunday morning. They wouldn't stay for the game. It was strictly for the lead up.
Part of it.
Well,
all right. Well, let's get some horse racing.
You got it.
I will start with Oaklawn Park. I'm gonna hit a couple races early. And then touch on the stakes. Race number three tomorrow at Oaklawn is a maiden special weight for three-year-olds. And number nine, Patrolman, last time out, I really thought that was an improved performance by this Empire Maker colt from his debut effort, going six furlongs, stretched out the two turns last time. Thought that was a solid performance. John Ortiz had been really cold all meet, but he did win a race last Sunday. He's won two of his last, I think, 10 at Oaklawn. And I just look at this projected pay scenario, and I think Patrolman's going to set a great trip. He'll either be on it or sitting close. He gets blinkers on. I like him 5-1 on the morning line, number nine, Patrolman.
All right.
And then I've got a price in race four. Race four is a $103,000 allowance, optional claimer, non-winners of two lifetime, three-year-old fillies. Number five, Junior's Joni, was a filly that obviously, hard to gauge coming in for Prairie Meadows, broke her maiden by open lengths the second time out. But last time out at Oaklawn Park, she broke slowly that day, really made a nice run, I thought, on the backside through the turn and got a little tired. But that was a nice field she was facing. Classy Bridget, was her second straight win, and she won that race by six lengths. So Junior's Joni just missed place in that race. I think she's going to continue to be overlooked off of it, and she's got speed. And, number seven, Strikingly Spun, is the horse to beat in there. Wouldn't be surprised if, Junior's Joni, came up a little bit short to her. But I like her at 12-1, and I'm going to have some money on her nose as well. Number five, Junior's Joni on the front end in race four.
Very nice. And 12-1 with Christian Torres.
Yes. And then in the Baikoa, I was listening to Scott earlier. I'm going to echo his sentiments on La Vida. I think Lovely Ride has been sensational in those two races, but she's also been like clear going down the backside. And I look at Cabrera on Paddle River and Saez and Grayson Macho Gal, and potentially they're going to try to put pressure on her. I think I would hope so this time. I think, the wet track worked against La Vida in her first race in that Pippin. I thought she ran better last time, closing for third. And I think she's going to get an improved setup and, take a step forward for Correas today in the Baikoa.
Wow. So two votes in on La Vida.
Yeah. And then I'll touch a little bit on the Gulfstream. I'll mention race eight real quick. I really wonder if both of these Pletcher horses, Tappet Trice and Chesterkin, if could win the Holy Bull outright. It's just so surprising. You know, I think they both look like really nice. The 3-year-olds moving forward. I've talked about Chesterkin before. He's going to be the favorite in here. He's going to be tough on the front end, with Irad Ortiz Jr. And Tappet Trice. I mean, you watch that maiden, right? That last, win, you know, he just like, you know, he didn't get out of the gate well and, you know, worked hard to do so, but beat a nice horse. And it was a big gap back to third. Slip Mahoney came right back and won it odds on and got a big speed rating for that win. So both those horses to me have huge upsides. I'm looking forward to watching that race. I'll mention in race number 9 is the Kitten's Joy for 3-year-olds. And to me, you know, this race is going to have, like, I think some pace with this dude in Colorado looking to keep a candidate honest in the early stages. And that, you know, it makes Major Dude. I mean, he's going to be so dangerous, you would have to think. But I'm just going to make a little bit of a mention of number 2, Suzak. This is a colt that in that Dania Beach, it was not a smooth performance by any means whatsoever. He pulled right from the starting gate, was taken in hand, was pulling himself into traffic all the way down the back side. When he finally got some room to run coming off the turn, Rosario angled him inside and he was advancing when he bumped into the inside rail and, you know, sort of took up and then he came again late. And I'm just looking for a more professional effort off of that performance for Grand Motion. And I think he's going to be finishing. So I think Suzak is a horse at 8-1 to look at for at least the vertical exotics, Steve.
Very nice. And Graham's got a hat full of these types that are turning up that got to be tracked.
Yeah. The Ford Gal, you know, I really lack a – I find it intriguing. I'm just going to mention this real quick. Number 3, Atomically, in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly, you know, off of her win in the My Dear Gal, stretching out to a mile and a 16th by Open Lens, who was sold privately, transferred to Pletcher. And she took some serious money in that 13-horse field. You know, the two betting favorites in that race ran last and next to last, Chocolate Gelato and Chop Chop. And Atomically was actually the 6-1 third choice. She was shorter in price than Wonder Wheel, who was coming off a win in the Grade 1 Alcibiades over the track. And, you know, she basically just raced evenly and, you know, weakened to be middle of the pack at 7th. I mean, it makes me wonder how she'll run in this race coming back. I would give her the edge, but I do respect Positano's Sunset.
All right.
And then in race number 11, I like number 1, the Swedish Chant. I like Sweet Lou. Sweet Lou's got races wire with Rosario. Rosario lost nearly 20 straight races. I know he's been ice gold, but he lost nearly 20 straight races at Gulfstream before winning wire to wire last Sunday with Wicked Finn. And I think, you know, on a speed horse like this, I think it's a favorable pay scenario. And if she breaks, she's got a chance to take them all the way. 4-1 on the morning line.
Ray Handel and Rosario on the 1. Sweet Lou's got aces.
And just looking at the Holy Bull, Steve, I mean, if Cyclone Mischief wins this race, I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but he's going to do so completely without me in any, like, multi-race bets or anything. His best races have come at one turn. He ran a one-turn mile first out. He ran a one-turn mile last out. Both those races were faster than his maiden win, going 2 turns at Keeneland, which was one of the slowest maiden wins for 2-year-olds during the fall, and his race in the Kentucky Jockey Club, where he ran 7th that day. I'm just like, hey, you know, I'm dubious of horses like that run faster at one turn than 2 turns. I'm going to play against him. I like number 8, Rocket Can for Belmont. I think he's going to be Ford. I think he's going to relish the mile and a 16th trip and short stretch, you know, given his, you know, positioning, and he'll make a move on the turn. That's who I'm going with in the Holy Bull.
You know, if you're looking, I was looking for a price, and I got to give credit. There was nothing clever to extract, at least on a morning line basis, because Lord Miles and Legacy Isle, and I particularly with Legacy Isle, obviously would need to do it on the front end, and it is his first time around two turns. But I was surprised when the morning line came out that Legacy Isle was 7-2, and maybe he floats up. But I understand your thinking. I mean that Cyclone Mischief on number power is gonna and you know basically being talked up, including here. I mean we've talked him up and had Dale on after the big win, after the allowance win. So I wanted to find somebody from a price standpoint, but the other alternatives beside Rocket Can are aggressively priced at 7-2, and I guess 4-1 is the best number on Lord Miles, who does add blinkers.
And I think he'll be less than that. I mean, I think he's going to take some money. You've got four horses from that race coming back, and
yeah.
I think Lord Miles, a lot of people are going to tap him as the most attractive, a choice of those horses.
Well, and of course, Dreaming of Kona, who came up the other day, is looking to run at Tampa in the Sam Davis next week. So we'll get a read on him a little bit from the Mucho Macho Man Exeters. But does not look like a productive, from a price standpoint. It doesn't look like there's, an intermediate number to grab.
No, and I mean, and you might get short fields, from time to time in a race like that, but you're going to usually see at least one stakes winner. All eight horses looking for the first stakes win, and we'll see. We'll see if it has any impact going forward. I do have a last second pick. It's at Turfway today. Last second push. I'm going to go against Scott because he picked this race. He picked the horse that I think is vulnerable that just stopped as the favorite last time on the front end. I like in race five tonight, number six, King of Kentucky. He's a first-time starter for Doug O'Neill, who has a win this meet. He's by Spicetown, 15%, first out. He's eighth sire in terms of first out. His dam was a grade one winner who won first time out, and his half brother Dilettante is like a Tapeta synthetic track at Turfway and Woodbine, is one on both tracks. So I don't think the synthetic will be, I think it'll be right up his alley. And this King of Kentucky is training real forwardly, and he's listed at 8-1 on the morning line, number six, race five at Turfway.
Wow. So we're going right up against Shap, the LSFP, the last second Friday push from James. James, good luck this weekend. I appreciate it. We'll talk ahead of Sam Davis and more. Now the Withers added to next week's allotment of three-year-old action. Good luck.
Good luck. Safe travels, Steve.
Appreciate it. There it is. A little little action from James Scully. I don't know why. I'm not sure what James said that triggered this, but I did want to note, I think I saw, and I want to confirm it. And actually, let me get Hammer, because and Hammer may or may not be right up on top of this either. I mean, he's got plenty to do. Riito, right? Doesn't Riito open today? Tomorrow, let me look here. I'm almost positive. Yeah, Riito opens tomorrow. The adorable Pima County Fairground track that the RTIP students manage, populate, and manage. They do everything. So good luck. Good luck to Mike Weiss and the team. There's Hammer and Hammer. I wanted to get a push in for Riito, which opens tomorrow.
Well, I tell you what, had a lot of fun time And for those who don't know where it is, it's in Tucson, Arizona. And I think it runs, they run like 6-7 weekends, I think, right?
Yeah,
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's basically run by the students. Yeah. Mike Weiss is there, who was formerly in Beulah Park and other places, kind of heads the, you know, is in charge. But a lot of the students take up many of the positions there, and it's a great hands-on way to, you know, actually learn what goes on in the inner workings of the racetrack. So yes, anyone, if you're in the Tucson area and going to be around for the weekend, it's great. It's obviously a fair type racing and things like that, but kind of a fun track. I mean, they've got some tables, right? At least they did. I haven't been there in a while, but you can get a table right up front there and grab yourself a cold bud and enjoy the day.
The students, the race caller, I'm reaching for his name.
I'm blanking too.
Yep. That one of the students. It's the coolest thing. And I saw a little reference to it somewhere on either Twitter, and I said I got to make sure to get a Reito mention in. So
you mentioned announcers, and the couple of them that went through with me, Milo Perrins, who had a short stint around town and did some Hollywood Park for a couple seasons. He called there. Luke Kreitbosch. He was there, but I know he announced it at a couple of the other fairs around Arizona at the time, but I'm sure he snuck his way into the booth there at Reito and made a few calls there as well. So, good place. You know, that's where a lot of great announcers have started, just anywhere they could call the race and moved on from there. So, yeah, there's been a few that have gone through there. And I can't remember the student's name that we talked about either. But Reito Park, definitely worth a mention.
Hmm. Well,
funny. So speaking, I have to laugh here this morning because I'm going, oh, man, I had a good night last night. I told you, went out to a nice Italian restaurant, and I've been sneezing and all crazy. I'm thinking maybe I get a short visit in, and I go, oh, yeah, well, let's see. Nick Camro scratched and Mike Wall scratched. It was pretty funny. I was talking to Dave Grading right before you, and I go, oh, I was hoping for a short visit. I go, well, I guess that's out. So we got a lot to talk about, and I have to give a shout out to the girls in the Santa Anita Racing Office, Linda, Amy, of course, and Karen and Danielle. Linda, who's new from when I was there, came up to me yesterday and she said, could you give us a shout out on Steve Bick? And she is a huge fan.
Wow.
And I said, absolutely. So when you come out there, I said, Steve will bring an 8x10. I see you can have it.
Please.
So, big fans out there still. So I said I would absolutely do that. So we got that done. So, yeah. So I said, yo, he's going to be here in a month or so. Anyway, you're going to have open arms waiting for you when you get out here.
Excellent. Well, I should mention, too, that Marty McGee has wandered in. And I was just about to text you with the discovery that Welsh is off to the dentist.
Did he wander in or stumble in? That's a
Hammer, Marty, good morning.
Just give me the ball, Hammer.
You got it. Marty McGee, I tell you, he's one of the best. I called him for some advice about 4 years ago, and boy, he gave me some of the best advice. We'll share that at another time, but Marty and I go way back, but I had to call him for something, and he came through with some of the best advice I ever got. So I'm always on Marty's team, no matter what goes on. It's pretty funny, but went to a dinner last night. I was telling you about it. A great little call it a Cal Italian spot called Spartina on Melrose, and know the chef and the owner. We went in and I just had a wonderful array of food, and everything was going good until they brought the grappa. Anyway, it was great. And as Gina said, this is a great spot for Steve. And I said, oh, yeah, well, Steve will make, when he comes out here, that we're going to head back there for sure. So,
well, what was the place? What was the, we had that unbelievable night in Brentwood with Maggie and John.
Yes.
And you and Gina, which for me is incredibly memorable, too. And I'm going to.
I'm at a loss myself for that.
And I had never been in that neighborhood either.
That was near the neighborhood.
The highlight. I'll pull it up because I'm sure it's in my it's on one of my social medias. But the highlight, one of the highlights for me.
No, it was the highlight for you. Believe me,
it was the highlight for me to meet Norman Lloyd. Was at the next table, and you know he just died. Probably a year and a half ago, at the age of 103 or 104. And of course, he had been Charlie Chaplin's best man. He was one of Chaplin's best friends. And for those of us, you know him, of course, as the headmaster from Captain My Captain, the prep school. Suicide with Robin Williams.
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society, and of course, my favorite, Dr. Auschlander on Saint Elsewhere. And Norman Lloyd got up to leave, and I was like just dumbstruck. And to meet him, and I got a great picture that I'll always treasure. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was your highlight because I remember that, and. About an hour later, we said, "Where's Steve?" He was still over there talking away and snapping pictures off. But yeah, it was funny. But because growing up in the area here and going places in and out is you see people, movie stars around here or there, and it's no big deal. But I don't know him, but you did and got your picture. It was great. But we're it's funny. It was an Italian place, of course. And, you know, I'm not a big Italian. I'm a spaghetti and meatballs guy. I don't stray outside the lines too much. So I'm thinking to myself, I got my wife, Gina, obviously like Italian, but I says, I reached out. I took Peter DeVito, who's Jimmy DeVito's son, who just got married, and his lovely wife. Ariane there, and I'm going, this is perfect. I got some shelter. I know they're gonna eat all the Italian food, and I can sneak in and not feel so bad. And you forget when you have a good super chef, they can make anything taste good, at least to me. And we just had just an array of food, and it was just fantastic. So it was not surprisingly good, just first time good, and you will love it. So we'll head there. And I gotta give, they had the pick five last week, and I took a nice healthy stab at it, and it was a tough one, and did not pull through. But your Eagles bailed me out, so I will thank you for that. Everyone said it was a boring game, blah blah blah. When you're betting and you're winning 31-7, it's not boring. So it was fine with me.
I wasn't bored at all. In fact, I watched it again on NFL Network the other day. I watched the whole thing. Tina said to me, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching the Eagle game." She goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "It's on NFL Network." She goes, "Well, what could you possibly?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm enjoying it.
Leave me alone."
By the way, I did look it up. It was Palmieri. Palmieri in Brentwood is where we ate that night.
All right. Well, we can head back there as well when you come out here. But we watched the game, and obviously we saw that the next game with a non-100% Patrick Mahomes, whatever he was, 50, 60, 70%. And the line came out that later that night, and I was shocked. I I'm not an expert at these lines, but I'm usually pretty good, and I thought it would be more. If the Chiefs actually came out favored, which was a blow mine to me, and then immediately went the other way, but I thought it would be a little bit more. So, again, you had to bet Philadelphia, which I still think is a good bet. But, David Hill was on yesterday. He made a great observation on the line when he was talking about the movement that when the line opened at, Kansas City, given 2.5, and then pretty close, within hours after that line came up, it shifted to Philadelphia, 2.5. And like you said, wow, 5-point swing, that sounds like a big swing. But the point he made, which I never had thought of before, going from 2.5 one way to 2.5 the other way past that zero number is not that big of a deal, like you said, because it's still in that field goal range.
Right.
Right? I never thought about that. It was a great point. 2.5 one way to 2.5 the other way, still a field goal. He said when it hits that 3, then we're talking, that's a big number. And if it ever went to 3.5, then something's going on, an injury type. But I think being as, the Super Bowl is a big American game and all that, there should be in the corner of every TV program that's on, a little corner of a camera following Patrick Mahomes around to see if he's limping so you can tell. I mean, obviously, that's the only thing anybody wants to know. What percentage is he going to be?
He said yesterday that he didn't feel anything, and that he said he's got no after effects, and they said that he in run throughs he was 100%. Unless there's, I don't know, it's 2 weeks, another 2 weeks.
I know that's a big injury. I know that. And so thinking about Patrick Mahomes, I think he's the best quarterback in the league, bar none. And so I was thinking back, in 2018, when we had tickets to the Chargers when they played here in the little soccer stadium down there, I had to go back and look exactly when it was, and I did. So it was opening day, the first game of the season, 2018. The Chiefs were in Chargers, okay? And Gene and I, we were at the game, of course, and it was small little place. Holds like 20,000. It was just a great 3 years to go see pro football, like right up close. And here was this guy, which was Patrick Mahomes, and he was throwing the ball all over the field to this guy number 10. We called him number 10, who ended up being obviously Tyreek Hill. But it was like, who's this 10 guy? He was returning punts. I was like, oh my gosh! And the performance was unbelievable, and Lou reminded me, he goes, you remember, you called me that night and said, I just saw this guy play quarterback that was unbelievable. I mean, I watched a million games as everybody else had, but Mahomes just stood out I didn't even know who this guy was. So I looked up that season, his first season, in 2000, first full season, he threw for 50 touchdowns. I actually thought it was a misprint. I had to go back and look on another site. He threw 50 touchdowns in that first season, and then opening day threw 4. But and obviously he's gone on to be the same thing. But if he's 100%, it's tough. Tough betting against him. The thing about both these teams I like is each time they get the ball, they're looking to score a touchdown. They're going down the field, and so it should be a great game. And now if he's near 100%, then I get the line. I get why it is so close. So I was Eagles, Eagles, Eagles. And now I'm thinking around it now. So don't take it personal if I go the other way.
Well, I got to pull Marty into this, too, because I referenced you earlier with James about considering a trip to Phoenix for the game, and I've never been. You talked about your half a dozen Super Bowl experiences, and I just said to Marty, have you ever gone? And you said that you came, you had a funny story about it.
Well, I had two tickets to the first Brady New England versus the Rams. I was in New Orleans, and I was staying in, I forget why Marcus wasn't there, but I was actually staying in his apartment, and his daughter was so young, she had these tiny little yellow tennis shoes in the apartment, 2 or 3 miles from the track. But I had two tickets because Will Wolford got me two tickets, and they were $400 each, and I had them a week before, and finally it came game day, and I was like, I didn't really have anybody to go with, one. anybody I wanted to go with, and two, I just didn't want to go. So I was life and death to get my tickets sold for face value when people say they're going for $9,000.
Right,
no,
right.
Uh-uh. No, I was life and death to get rid of these things. As a matter of fact, I went to a place called Old Absinthe House.
Oh, sure.
On the Absinthe House. I love it.
Absolutely.
and it's right down there, and you can see straight down to the Superdome, and there were guys literally an hour before the game with fistfuls of tickets. Now, maybe it has changed. I don't know if it has or not. And, of course, well, everything's online now.
It's all digital.
And there's nobody.
Yeah, there's no physical tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that stands out in my mind that there were not buyers. There were guys out there begging people to buy these tickets.
In my ticket experience, I'm kind of the ticket man. I'm wheeled and dealed. Here's what I'm saying. The quicker an event sells out and the bigger the event, the more tickets there are available come game day. I just got tickets 5 months down the road. Steve, hey, you want to go to the Dodger game? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then what happens? You get a little closer. Oh, I can't make it. I forgot I got, So you're stuck with the ticket. So you go down and you go over. So, like I said, the bigger the event or the sooner it sells out, the easier it is to get tickets if you're willing to, wait and go down. It's a different way now. You're right. It's not the tickets. So they still have at the dead shows, you put up the finger looking for the miracle ticket. But in a regular sporting event now, it's kind of the same thing. I got tickets. And what you do is you sit there, what's your deal? You Venmo the guy and you send your ticket over, right there. So it's a different transaction, but it still goes on. I do miss the hard ticket days where, you had the ticket, you could look at it and all that stuff. But no, the guy, you look on his phone, he's got the deal, put your Venmo, boop, 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 it's done. So, yeah, Marty, you're right. You hear all these numbers. You still hear those numbers today. Oh, 5,000. Yeah. Well, if you pay that, you're an idiot. That's all I can say. I mean, really, because you can, if you want to do the work and go down to the events and go. But, the Super Bowl, Steven mentioned the other day, and he said, what do you think? And I said, if you want my real opinion, I'll tell you. I've been to half a dozen, most of the ones at the Rose Bowl. I actually went to the first Super Bowl as a fluke, and then I was at the Miami Dolphin year they went undefeated when they beat the Redskins in a thriller. Wow. 14-7. At that one. And then it was at the Rose Bowl ones with the Vikings and the Raiders and the Steelers. And there's one other game there.
Play the Rams there? Yeah.
But I went to one about 10 years ago, and that was the last time the Steelers were in the Super Bowl. They played Green Bay in Dallas. And it was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go back to New Stadium. This is going to be great. And, had a good friend in Dallas. We stayed there and went with a good buddy, and we, went around, and it was, I thought it was going to be a lot more intense. I thought it was like going to be, half the people for the Steelers and half the people for the Packers, and it was going to be really boom, boom, boom. And, so we got there early, we're walking around, we're walking to the game, and, I got my Steeler jersey on, and I expect some Packer fans to be, throwing stuff at you and yelling at you, hey, how you doing? But everything was, really amicable, everyone was really friendly, and I thought it was going to be a little more tense, and then you go into the game, and just like Scully said, I think it's going to be, 50-50, if eyes on the game, everybody thrilled, and it's literally, it's like 10% for one team, 10% for the other team, and the other 80%, some are watching the game, some aren't. And so that intensity of that you get when you're at like a championship game, the finals, like last week's game when you're there, it's just not there. And then the halftime comes up, and, half the people are running down to, the Black Eyed Peas were playing. It's like, I could care less. But that thing lasts so long, and then the third quarter starts, and you look up to see what the score is type of thing. So it wasn't as exciting as a sitting on the edge of your seat type of an event. So, I kind of walked out and said, I think I'll watch the next 20 at home type of thing. So, if you like that, get there early, do the fanfare and things like that as part of it. But the game just did, and then the commercials, it just didn't have it for me. So, if you had a freebie, you could go, but it wasn't thrilling for me. I know that.
That's an impressive array, Hammer. And the fact that you were at that, it wasn't even called the Super Bowl yet, right? The AFL NFL championship game.
So honestly, I was very young, but we had Rams season tickets, and you know, included was an extra game. I remember, like, you know, kind of vaguely, my dad going, "Hey, we got this extra game. We want to go? Yeah, okay, let's go." And you know, I don't remember a whole lot of it.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, we win, and then amazing. Actually, the game that I remember most was I think it was Super Bowl VII. I got the ticket on my wall around here somewhere. Was it VII? Anyway, the one where the Dolphins were going for, might have been later, for their you know, an undefeated season. They're playing the Redskins, and yeah, it must have been later because I was a little older. And so
73, 72, 72, 73.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, right, 73. So I would have been, you know, 16, something like that. And no, wait a minute, not that. Anyway, whatever. I can't even add. But we had a friend of ours' father was like head usher, right? So he would. I mean, this is crazy, but we would get the little cardboard little bands that said usher on it, and you could put it on your arm, and you could go anywhere. From the stadium, right? So he would get it. So during the year, we had these things. We would go to games, and we did. We'd run it all over the place. So here comes the Super Bowl. Hey, can we get the things? Absolutely. And they were stupid. They didn't change the color. So we all, you know, usually they change it for the games. So we still had, I still have one of these orange usher bands. So me and my buddy, we were, my dad drove, but we kind of abandoned him. And we were on the field. We were on the field for the second half. On the field, like by the end zone, because we had our little usher bands on. And that play with the, you know, with the Yepremian.
Yepremian, yeah.
When he flubbed a punt, he threw it, and Dick Bass, I think, got it. Ran, like, right, he was running right down, right towards us. It was like, I'll never forget that. It was kind of cool.
That's so amazing.
No, it is amazing. You know, I don't know. He just kind of lucked in. But I still, when we were moving, I still have one of these little orange usher bands. And I remember thinking, you know, like today, that would never work. And I just remember thinking, God, they didn't change the color. You'd figure they would change the color for the Super Bowl. So there were a bunch of those floating out. But yeah, we were on the field. So anyway, and then, you know, the Rose Bowl. Oh, it was the Dolphins. Was it the Dolphins and the Redskins when, the Redskins won. Riggins, when Riggins went wild. So saw some good games there. And, you know, then, you know, a lot younger than you really, everything was fun then. We were out running around doing stuff. But now you get a little older, it's like, you know, you're not doing that. So the game was a little bit slower now. Maybe there weren't so many commercials. But it seems like it was a lot more intense back then than it was now. So
that is great. That is a tremendous association with it.
I do not remember that game. I do remember exactly where I've watched every Super Bowl since Super Bowl II when the Packers beat the Raiders 33-14. It was at Joe and Janet Crump's house on Rockford Road in Indianapolis, which is where my family was living at the time. But I do not remember Hammer Game 1. I don't have any memory of that.
Well, you and I were only 7 years old.
Yeah. But I do remember the second one and the third, of course.
Well, I was the same type of age. Like I said, I just remember we had the tickets, and I just kind of remember going to my dad. Hey, what are you doing? We got an extra ticket. It wasn't even the Super Bowl. It was just another. It was like a game. It was just the next game or something. You know what I mean? It wasn't a big deal. I didn't think it was full, to tell you the truth. I remember reading about it years later, Max McGee, and you know everything. But I got the ticket around here somewhere. That's too for
amazing.
That, and
amazing.
Pretty wild. Yeah, it is.
Max McGee, of course, with the first ever Super Bowl touchdown, and John McKee's son name is Max. Max McKee. There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
That's great. And I mean, the word back then was that Max McGee might have been out having a little grappa himself the night for the game. And
well, and every Super Bowl lead up, Johnny D sends me and Will Schwartz, you know, we've got the ongoing commentary tweeting or texting, and he's every year Johnny loves that picture of Len Dawson at halftime
with a cigarette,
smoking a cigarette with a Fresca. He's on a folding chair. He's got the Fresca on the floor and the cigarette at the edge of his mouth at halftime. It's just so perfect and so just different from, you know,
that's
unbelievable.
That's classic. Yeah, 58 toss power trap or whatever that is.
Yeah,
yeah,
matriculating down the field.
I don't know. When you were younger, those games were.
The first one I remember was Namath. It was Super Bowl III
down here.
Anywhere. I just remember. I mean, being conscious, and it's funny because I'd already been to NFL games. But I've told the story why I'm an Eagle fan because of my father. Coming to America in 1939, and an Italian kid from South Philly that was living in his neighborhood in Bay Ridge in Brooklyn, and he asked my dad, you know, who do you like in baseball? Oh, I like the Dodgers. Who do you like in football? And my dad said, I really don't understand it. And he said, well, you want to be an Eagles fan. So he became an Eagles fan in like 1943. And the Steagles, actually, of course, during the war, the 2 years where the Steelers and the Eagles were a combined franchise. But the owner of the Eagles in the 60s, and he used to give us tickets when the Eagles would play New York. So I saw games at Yankee Stadium. My first game was in Yankee Stadium. And then the Yale Bowl, when Yankee Stadium was being renovated. In fact, I saw the last NFL game ever played in the Yale Bowl. It was an Eagles-Giants game as a kid. And anyway, but the first Super Bowl that I have any recognition, and I think actually we were in Great Neck. We were in Long Island at my grandparents, and we watched the game on the crappy color TV that my grandfather had. That you know, no matter how expensive they were back then, the picture was still shitty.
Yeah. That's funny. And you didn't have a remote either.
My grandfather had a remote. It was about the size of a. Of like
cigar
a cigarette,
box.
Like a cigarette box. I was going to say a cigarette box, like a coffee table cigarette case, and he absolutely had a remote that was a big. It was a Magnavox. Now that I will not forget either. That I can see the Magnavox logo on it, and it was like chrome with black buttons. Unbelievable.
Well, that's why now, you know, ironically, real quickly, we got to talking on Super Bowls. My most memorable Super Bowl was a 35-31 victory over Dallas, the Steelers. And my buddy and I, Mark Frank, actually, I've lost touch with him. I got to get a hold of him. Well, we decided we're going to go to Vegas because that's, you know, back then, you know, that's the only place you could really bet. And so... Yeah. We took off for Vegas on probably Saturday morning and drove out there in the car. My nice little Datsun, orange Datsun, we broke down somewhere on the way. We end up hitchhiking the rest of the way, which is not the first time that's good. So we hitchhiked the rest of the way there. You know, I used to go to the Stardust. That's where we used to kind of hang out. And so we get to the Stardust. We're not worried about the cars. We're a couple hundred bucks on, you know, parked at a gas station or something. We'll come back and get that later. So we hitchhike the rest of the way. We get to Vegas, and you know, we're going there. I think we probably had a few hundred dollars between us, which is good. We're going to, bet on the Steelers. And the line was 3.5. I remember that. But the problem was the game was still 24 hours away. So we weren't doing that well. And I think Super Bowl day comes along, and we might have had $25 left of the money we were going to bet on the game, and it was, oh boy. And so I don't remember how, whether we bet a race or we hit something, but we got up to like $80. And so we checked into the bus situation, so we had to save $5 each for the bus to get back home. There was a bus station at Stardust. So we went up and we bet. I remember standing in line. We're going up, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the guy in front of us goes, I'd like $25,000 on the Steelers, please. We're like, holy shit, we're next. Can we have $70 to win on the Steelers, please? I just never forget that. This guy bet 25 grand, and we had 70, and it turned out to be one of the best games ever. And, you know, that was the Jackie Smith, you know, dropping the zone. Yeah. Yeah. Just Hollywood Henderson. I mean, it was just a wild game, and obviously they won by half a point. And we cashed and took the bus home, and then we had to get, you know, the next day we had to get a ride back and get the, you know, AAA and the whole thing. But very memorable Super Bowl on that Vegas run. Of course, we won, but we lost in the end with the money, but it was pretty fun. But
that's a great story.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, no, but the best part was like, the guy in front of us bet $25,000. We're like, we have $70, please. Like, are we in the $100 line here? Are we in the, you know, what line are we in? It's funny. Thinking. But anyway, you know, back, you know, living so close to Vegas that there's a lot of those Vegas runs that, but that one was funny with the car. And I think I ended up selling the car, like, you know, the next week anyway for $200 or something. But the breakdown didn't stop us. It was wasn't even a phase. Like, what are we going to do? Grab your stuff, stick out your thumb, and go.
So. Outstanding. Let's do this. We got Marty. We got about 10, 12 minutes. I got to get Popo on, too, and some form to win action. But how about the let's take a look at the Coast to Coast.
Okay. Yeah, the coast.
Okay,
go ahead.
By the way,
you can start out. I actually left my I left my radio bucket thing, but I do have some stuff here. I want to get two quick things in at Santa Anita. Yeah, we have the coast to coast, and then on Sunday is the Brad mentioned it, is the mandatory payout on the Rainbow Six, which I know there's a lot that just play it that day, which is probably pretty smart. So I don't even know what the pool is. But they told me it's, you know, $3 million.
They're talking $3 million. Yeah, right?
Is that what they're pumping?
That's what they're projecting. Yeah.
And over the years, they've been pretty good off this pick six predictions. What they're going to go, they're pretty good at that. So the $3 million is not too bad. So take a look at Sunday's card.
Well,
what do you got, Mark?
Well, the coast to coast starts with the Forward Gal, which is a interesting group. It's one of the more interesting dirt races of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm interested in a couple of these Kentucky guys. Rusty Arnold with Red Carpet Ready. I talked to him a while about her the other day. And then Positano Sunset for Ian. You know, his horses tend to improve. So I would say one of the outside speeds, one of those two would be my tab in there. And Steve, have you told your listeners how your face is peeling? Because you...
I have not.
Okay. What happened?
I've been in the sun.
Okay.
I don't mind. I like getting that. I like getting that layer or two of like dead skin. Look at you. You're all brown, and he looks like one of those perfectly colored nectarines.
I have been hitting the beach a little bit.
Look at you. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you're red and peeling. And is it a 1 day or 2 day thing?
One day or 2 day. It's been all week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. About an hour and a half each day. I put on some 30. The spray. But I like getting the dead skin off.
I
get that layer off.
To each his own. You know, they make aloe vera. You know, so
you're unbelievable. Yeah. I'll be glowing. Not to worry. By Tampa. By the time we go to. By the way, we're supposed to.
I'm leaving Monday.
Well, I've got a list of people that want to go to Cristino's.
Okay.
It's a growing. We're gonna probably, probably eat there 3 nights in a row. Although I wouldn't mind a Burns. I wouldn't mind getting over to Burns Steakhouse. When was the last time you were at Burns?
I've never been there.
You've never been to Burns?
No.
Are you kidding?
No.
How many times have you been to Tampa?
20.
Oh, my God. It's literally one of the top 10 or 15 restaurants in the country.
I'll have to go.
We need a sponsor.
That's where that's leading.
Yeah, there we go.
Any volunteer? Where's Satish? We need Satish.
There you go. Speaking of Tampa, Springsteen started his tour there on Wednesday, and Jimmy was there and gave me the report. All systems go. So anybody going to see Bruce? I might have a ticket at February 21st at
for Tampa?
Tulsa.
For Tulsa?
No, for Tulsa.
Tulsa.
My concert buddy bailed on me, so. I might have to announce, you know, someone in the listener in the Tulsa area might get a ticket. So I'm headed there.
Nice. Keep
listening. Seriously, the Friday before, if I don't have anybody, I mean, I'll go. We'll invite a listener, and
Very cool. Hammer, I need you because we're going to run out of racetrack
okay.
here. Give us the megahertz. Megahertz.
Oh, okay. Megahertz. I was doing megahertz. I had written down one. Because this is a tough race.
Yep.
This is a tough race. Good. Normally, you know, I obviously include any invader that comes here. So Jonathan Thomas is there. Hamwood Flyer is going to be cruising on the front end, but you know, I like a little Nadette for Neil Drysdale and the Cowbred. I heard Brad Free mention closing remark. So I like the inside there. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Interesting. All right, back to Marty Swedish Chant, the 11th.
I thought that this number one horse, Sweet Lou's Got Aces, for Ray Handel, who, by the way, is over 44 lifetime at Gulfstream.
Are you kidding?
I came upon that nugget the other day, writing about this race. But
how about that?
Well, he was over 43, and then he had one yesterday in the fifth.
He got holy beat. Cow!
And which, you know, it's only notable. One time I wrote about Robbie Alvarado being on a 2-for-80 streak with favorites or
anyone?
Something. Well, he called me and the guy goes, and I said, dude, it's only notable because you're good. I mean, if somebody else is over 44, you don't really bring it up. But Ray Handel's good.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely. Right. It's
so
shocking.
That's why it gets mentioned.
Exactly.
So, anyway, in the Sweetest Chant, I'm against Sweet Lou's Got Aces. I don't believe she's going to be able to get this distance, on switching tracks after having stretched out last time. I'm kind of between the Todds in here. Carol Consort, although she won't be much value with IRAD, and then the other one is Alphabella, so I'd probably lean toward Alphabella. Mally Moo, a sleeper, I think, for Jack Sisterson, the way that she came flying home in the Wait a While.
Interesting. Go on with it, because the Holy Bull is the fourth leg.
Holy Bull, I'm always for Dale because it's the Derby's more fun with Dale around. But I really think that Lord Miles with the blinkers and the way that Safi's been talking him up to me and the way he came flying home in the Mucho Macho Man, he's got a lot of upside to him. And I would not be surprised, actually, if he's favored with IRAD from the one hole.
Well, it's funny because I talked earlier with James about the morning line. And I went looking for a price in this before the line came out, and I thought, well, maybe we'll get a little something here with Legacy Isle or with Lord Miles, and they both end up being, 4-1 and 7-2.
Well, that kind of speaks to the depth of the race.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, so it's like a two-tier. There's four possibles and four difficults.
My opinion is, once we get to the Kentucky Derby on May 6th, that the Holy Bull will be a lost memory by then.
And then Hammer, back to you for the Thunder Road. And Marty, I do want to ask you about the Sam Davis Field before we adjourn. But Thunder Road closes it out, Hammer.
Speaking of Bruce, this we come up with this race about 15 years ago, and it snuck it in there. Obviously named after Thunder Road, the song on Born to Run. So nice to have a 12 horse field. I'm agreeing with Brad what he said earlier about Air Force Red. I mean, Leonard Powell is one of those guys that didn't have too many horses, 15, 20 range, but you can always train. He's getting a lot more horses, a lot better horses, and he's really making the most of it.
Yeah,
he's really having a good couple years. So Air Force Red is on a roll. I like him. Dark Shift coming in, Connor Murphy, what's he doing here type of thing. The Tory gets on, maybe they're prepping here for the kill row later on. And then the outside horse, I give it a little shot too. Cabo Spirit for George Papa Perdomo, been off a little bit since December, but has shown a willingness to win and likes the San Diego Oval. Once again, not afraid of the 12 hole when the rail's at zero. So, those are the three. Was it 8, 10, 12, in the Thunder Road here.
Interesting. All right. Again, the Forward Gal, the Megahertz, the Swedish Chant, the Holy Bull, the Thunder Road, a really fun all stakes, coast to coast, 15% takeout. There's no consolation. Everything gets paid to the winners, and there is the carryover provision should that apply to the next day, or if it doesn't get hit on a Sunday, it carries over to the next weekend. And Sunday's sequence, Gulfstream 8, which is an optional allowance, Santa Anita second, a Calbred optional allowance, then Gulfstream 9, a very good 3-year-old filly maiden special, and then the San Marcos and the Palos Verdes, plus, as Hammer mentioned, they're going to push out the rainbow as well. Marty, do we have some early look? We know that there's the one horse that bypassed this spot.
W now?
Dreaming of Kona.
Okay.
That we talked about, you and I, right? Did you and I talk about it, or Mike and I talked about
Mike.
It?
Mike, is that the Spieth?
Yes.
I think that horse around over there, and W. Nell, who worked this morning at Palm Beach Downs, because Palm Meadows Training Center has been kaput for the last four mornings.
Yep, it's a disaster.
And I think they're trying to beat the rain tonight and not further, you know, get it further messed up. But anyway, Danny Gargan went out of his way to send W. Nell over this morning. He worked at Palm Beach Downs.
Kind
of an unusual move, and I understand some of the guys are bringing horses down here to work it over the Gulfstream track with Palm Meadows, being disrupted. But anyway, I was looking at this. The Gulfstream 8th on Sunday, which is the leadoff leg to the cross country, that is the Charge It return.
Yes,
so they're giving you the
free square.
Yeah, the proverbial free space,
As they say.
But as far as the Sam Davis Wonder Wheel is supposed to come back in the Sun Coast.
Yes,
That there's four stakes off for 3-year-olds. That'd be a week from tomorrow over at Tampa, and then W. Nell, I would assume for Gargan would be the favorite off his Remsen victory.
Excellent. Any other gems? Anything else you're tracking?
No, I really took Dr. Ozuna or whatever its name was. I bet $120 into the Rainbow Six, and instead of using my top pick, Clement, I switched off to the Todd as a single in there. That horse got beat, and I had 5 of 6. Otherwise, I have the whole pool if I use the horse I'd picked. Isn't that awful? $90,000. Yeah. Anyway, but I did get 5 out of 6 for $650.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm reeling. So maybe I did come stumbling in this morning, just having been bloodied and beat up, bludgeoned. See you, Ben.
I love it. Marty McGee, everybody, always an absolute pleasure. Unscheduled, unprompted, everything. He just wandered right in and delivers, as he always does.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, that is a tough beat, too. That's a sleepless night, one of those, you know. Tough one, Marty.
It's unbelievable. Well, Hammer, outstanding.
We filled him in.
And then some.
So that's great. That sounds like you're having a great time. You're making me jealous with all the beach runs here. It's not beach weather here. Although if you are in Southern California visiting, this is a great time to go to the beach. There's a couple beaches up in Malibu and north where you can bring a book and, you know, maybe a sweatshirt or whatever, and look out, and you will see whales and dolphins and not like right when you look, but if you just keep looking, eventually. I call this one beach I go to SeaWorld at this time of year, and it's just, you know, so there's still sights to see at the beach, even when it's cloudy out here. You know, beach is always full of something. So.
Nice.
Yes, all good. So, the weekend before the Super Bowl, and it was some good racing actually, and we'll pick it up great to have the conversation today, and we'll talk during the week.
You got it, Hammer. I appreciate it. I also saw, I don't know if there's anything you can add, but I did see on the Santa Anita website that it's dumpling day tomorrow at Santa Anita, and I'm big with the dumplings.
There you go. Just coming back and getting reacquainted, there had a lot of, like, last week was wine. They had wine, California wine day, and they have a little section where they have these little specialty days. So I guess maybe they're at every week.
Nice.
So last week was wine. We got dumplings this weekend. So there you go.
Away they go, everybody. Hammer, good luck this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Sounds great. See you at the races, everybody.
So much fun. Let's quickly get to Papo and see what we can give you for form to win plays today, too. Into the weekend. That was a completely unprompted and somewhat unexpected fun half hour with Marty. Marty shows up in a group setting. I mean, we always have fun with Marty anyway, but when you got more than one person, it was funny because he said, I've got a great, quietly said, I got a good story about Super Bowl. So kind of funny. Papo joins us. Papo Morales, everybody. Am Wager and Form to Win. Papo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Excellent. It's been a fun 3 hours. We didn't connect last week. Was there anything notable to in the wake of where was Art Collector? I forget. I put out the looks, but I forgot where he was.
Yeah, he was pushed down, Steve. I went back and reran everything after I saw the results, and he just improved. You know, I saw where Bill Mott had said that he was a better horse now coming out of that foot injury. Yep. So, but based off his numbers last year, his projection was a bit slower, but he saw improvement, and so he won. So lots in second and thirds last week, and the one couple wins that we had were chalky. So hopefully a better weekend this weekend. Now, Steve, I just want to mention this real quick, that I've been going back and forth with players and Tote this morning. So I don't know if you discussed this or not, but Sam Houston is not going to be available for wagering today.
Not today?
Not today, yeah. Sam Houston has decided they're going to do some more research into Heisa and make sure that they have all their ducks in a row, so to say, with the law. So it's only going to be for interstate wagering today. Again, nothing's being exported. Yeah.
All right, so we'll get the latest. In fact, Nick, one of the reasons Nick didn't visit, he said there's a bunch of things that are up in the air right now, and he didn't want to elaborate until they knew more. So there's a portion of thank you for slipping that in. All right, so we'll hope for the best, ideally sooner than later. All right, how about some other options then? Let's pick a few spots.
Yeah. I'm kind of everywhere. Santa Anita, Gulfstream, Tampa, Gulfstream, Race 9, Kitten's Joy, going mile 16th on the turf. You know, Major Dude fits. He's the morning line favorite. Candidate also fits on form to one. And then a price horse is the number two horse, Suzak, who's 8-1 on the morning line. I factored out a couple of his races just based off trip. And that moved him up some, so I'd be interested in getting the two horse involved Suzak, Joel Rosario for Grand Motion, and the Ford gal Nothing Clever. I'd be interested in the 7 horse undervalued asset, as well as Atomically, and then the 9 horse Positano Sunset. Sweetest Chant looks a little bit chalky. I mean, maybe Heavenly Sunday, the 8 horse at 5-1, who is ranked 2nd on form to win, no matter how I ran the filter, fit with the favorite as well. Holy Bull, I just, because of the limited data set, I just sorted by projected time. And Cyclone Mischief was moved down some. Not saying that he can't win, but was moved down just a bit. I'd be interested in Lord Miles, Steve, the 1 horse.
Yeah.
At 4-1, who absolutely fits on form to one. And then if you want a price horse to include underneath, Mr. Bob, 5 horse, projected higher than I was expecting him to, on form to win. And then shipping out to Santa Anita, the megahertz, a mile on the turf. Harmwood Flyer, the 2 horses, 4-1 was the top horse, followed by Closing Remarks, and then the number 1 horse, Baystorm. And the Santa Monica, that looked a bit chalky. You could probably go narrow there. Fun to Dream.
Yeah.
Who's the fright, who fits. And then as well as Awake at Midnight, but I mean, 2nd choice, so no real value there. But the Thunder Rogue, Steve, is where it could get interesting. Air Force Red absolutely fits, but so does, Northern Harvard, 7 horse of 8-1. and then the 6 horse. Not sure how he fits, but he fits on the way I ran my filter, which is Amado Amana 16th, at 15-1, Irideo, the Argentinian horse. Doesn't always win, but he runs good races, and his numbers fit. So I'd be interested in getting him involved. And then, let's see, Tampa.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the 7th, which is the Endeavor. The 2 horse, surprisingly.
For sure.
Came
up the other day.
Top horse on form to win. Then it's Market Segmentation, and then Scottish Star. And then what else did I look at there?
The other stake is the 9th, the Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay Stakes, yes. Chance Horse fits, Chespierre. I'd be interested in Win From Within, the 4 horse at 6-1. And then price horse to get in the mix as well as Heath Pure Gold, the 12 horse at 15-1. So I'd be interested in, you know, getting those prices involved with some of those favorites.
There you go. Excellent. Oh, we got a lot in. All right, Tampa, Gulfstream, Santa Anita. We'll get the snapshots from Form to Win up, and of course, Form to Win right there on your interface with AmWager, or download it and just. It couldn't be easier. You can make your own adjustments, use the presets, or play around as necessary and as you get more and more experience. Papo, good to connect. Glad to get you in, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
I appreciate it. Papo Morales, everybody. AmWager and Form to Win. What a fun week this has been, I got to tell you. And it, is it me, or do things just whistle by? I was shocked, actually. Just woke up this morning and started looking at these races. I said, my God, it's Friday. Good luck if you're playing. I'll obviously do Gulfstream stuff, but the Tampa sequence is very good. There's a maiden mile 40 for the Phillies. Goes as the sixth. It starts the pick five. Don't forget about Delta as well, that nice premiere night card tomorrow. Plenty to keep you busy. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. A couple more days yet to come here at Gulfstream Park. We'll see you here at the track tomorrow, too. Thanks.
On Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders.